That was Dreamscapes, Jacques Rothenbach. This man is not dreaming. Well, I certainly wasn't dreaming when I went to see Jonathan Rocksmith do Key Changes at Theatre on the Bay on Monday night, opening night. And I have the man himself, who's quite famous because he's already been on People of Note on Fine Music Radio. That's established you as somebody. So, you know, I love the description, Key Change, My Favorite Pianists. But, you know, I still didn't quite know what to expect. So maybe you want to just explain where you got that from and why this particular focus?
Do you know what was interesting is Peter Turin initially was nervous about the title. He said, people won't understand what a key change is. And I said, well, that's the point. Because part of the gag of the show is that you shouldn't know, so that you can find out with me. Essentially, I don't want this to sound like a typical compilation piano show, because it's not. It's music, it's memory, it's nostalgia, it's fun, it's comedy, it's song, it's all of those things, but then it's the stories in between that make the show unique. And I think the problem is when you create such a unique show, you don't know how to describe it. But what I got from a little girl who was at the show yesterday at the matinee, and she, the way she put it, she said, it's like a piano lesson that you don't want to end. I really liked. And she was like 9 years old, so from the mouth of babes.
I love that. I think that's the way you should describe it in future. You've now got a new title.
Yes.
But key change. But what inspired you in terms of the type of music you chose? And I love the little story you told about that, at the beginning, that unknown person, you unwrapped a gift and was this the name you used?
Oh, yes, Liberace.
Yes.
Yeah. Liberace, no. So I've normally done musicals, big musicals and that sort of thing. And when I did my own shows, I would always have a band with me. And a lady came up to me after one of them and she said, why don't you play the piano in your shows anymore? And I actually couldn't come up with a good enough answer. And I thought, well, maybe it's time that I did play the piano. So what do I want to play? Music that means something to me. Not just music that I think people want to hear, but this, it has to be personal. And I started writing a list of pieces of music that I'd like to play, and I started seeing a pattern. And I thought, well, they all, it's not like covers of songs that I like. It was specifically music written for the piano or by established pianists. I thought, well, there's a link there. There's a whole thread to the show. And I sat down one afternoon and it wrote itself in an hour. And then I spent about a year orchestrating everything and figuring out how it was going to fit together. And from the first performance to now, the audience reaction still takes me a while to get used to, because something happens. And it's the first and only show I've ever had where there are three standing ovations every performance. And I think that has less to do with me and more to do with people's memories attached to the music.
I think you might have something to do with it. You know? as the person who created this particular... Yeah, you know, it's about music talking.
Yes.
And yes, you do talk as well, but it's a sense of communication.
Yes.
And it comes with, I'm allowed to use the word charisma.
Oh, well,
okay. I want to see you blush. No, but seriously, that I think was the thing. It's not just about being able to play a piano, but it's a matter of making that music communicate and then telling your story in a way that... is humorous, touching, all those other elements
but
that go with it.
Doesn't become an indulgent TED talk either. You know, that was important to me, because I think as soon as somebody says it's a very personal show, you think, oh God, please do me a favor. There's a balance to it. And there's a lot that people come to me afterwards and they say, I had exactly the same experience when I was young and I was learning the piano, or I had the same experience growing up to listening to Murder, She Wrote. And I remember that piano theme. So dum bum 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 bum. I remember that theme. So I think more than anything else, this is people's memories set to music.
But now your own. Your own memories. Can we start, you know, people know a bit about you, but maybe they don't know much about you.
Sure.
So let's get a little bit of the important things to you along your particular career path that led to this, and then we'll talk a little bit about the particular program.
I was born an exception to the rule in my family. I was the only person with any musicality in my entire family. And I started out, you know, in the school choirs and that sort of thing, and high school musicals. And I got a job just before I matriculated in the Barnyards production of Grease, directed by Ian von Memmerty. I met Ian, went into A Handful of Keys, and then whilst we were getting ready for A Handful of Keys, there was an audition for Beauty and the Beast, produced by Hazel Feldman and an unknown Peter Turin. And you want to talk about the right people at the right time in the right room. Boom. From there to here.
Someone directing the traffic.
Absolutely. My angels were with me in a very, very big way. A lot of sort of international musicals, most notably, I suppose, The Phantom of the Opera here at Artscape. And from there, I joined the World Tour production, and I've been all over the world with that. And this is my first time, actually, back at Theatre on the Bay in 5 years. I've been overseas. So it's a homecoming in many ways.
Well, you've come home, and you've also come home to Fine Music Radio.
Yes.
And it happens to be, so I'm going to give a time check as well, it happens to be 12:30.
Perfect.
And you're listening to Cape Diary, and I'm Philip Todras talking to our very well-known Jonathan Rocksmith. Now, Jonathan, the program itself, there are some particular highlights and pointers, and are we even allowed to mention the word Beethoven?
Absolutely. I'm so proud to mention Beethoven.
Tell us how you got there, and I love the idea of a Beethoven medley.
Oh, yes. You know, Beethoven was the sort of music that I love to listen to. Do you remember the movie Immortal Beloved with Gary Oldman playing Beethoven?
No, I don't, I'm afraid.
Go check that out. Because
I will have to.
The reason the Beethoven medley exists is in that film, there's a scene where Beethoven is rushing back to a hotel to meet the love of his life. And the rain's pouring, and he's in a horse-drawn carriage, and he's trying to get there in time. And it's the Pathétique, the Moonlight Sonata, Movement 3. And it's that whole sequence. It's so thrilling. And I remember wanting to know what that piece was, because I wanted to learn it. And I got the sheet music, and I looked at the notes, and I thought, this is ridiculous. And I thought, this guy's such a show-off. I love him. So from there, my love affair with his music began. We do a wonderful medley of the Fifth Symphony, Moonlight Sonata, and the Pathétique. And after that, there wasn't much room for any other classical, quite frankly, because in terms of the piano and really getting it out to an audience, Beethoven, I suppose a close second would be Rachmaninoff. But I'm going to have too many enemies by saying that, so retract that statement. But we also have Liberace in the program. We also have Elton John and Billy Joel and David Foster. But my favorite, I think, is the TV theme medley that we do in Act Two called the Square Eyes Medley, which is all of those TV themes that rely on the piano. So Murder, She Wrote, Sex in the City, Downton Abbey, Hill Street Blues, Cheers. You can't believe how many there are. And during that sequence, we actually have pictures of me as a child in every year that I grew up. And it's a nice little condensed version of sort of how I came to be.
But also what's very important to me is other projections that you're doing.
Yes.
And the animations that you're actually playing.
Yes.
Are magic.
It was something very important because, you know, there's always that person that complains that they can't see the hands from where they're sitting in a theater. So we have a live feed of my hands that is projected onto the back wall of the theater so you can see everything that you would want to.
It is so unbelievable, even when, okay, we're not going to tell them when you use your entire body. That might be giving away too much.
Yes, we'll save that a little bit.
Okay. Okay, we're not even going to say which part.
No.
But anyway, but as you say, you've conceived it in an hour, but I can't imagine that there weren't, as you say, orchestration took quite a bit. And talking about that, your team that you have on stage.
Yes, you know, I think the big thing about this is it's not just a guy and a piano on stage. That's not the sort of piano show that we're doing. We're elevating the piano, and the way that you do that is you give the piano an orchestration to sit on. So we have a 5-piece band over and above the piano. So as you walk into the theater, there are 2 keyboards. There's the piano, bass, drums, guitar. And the way that everything is structured is all the instruments are electric, even the drums. So it means that the way that you can mix the music for the audience's ear is completely different. And it's far clearer than if you were to have a real drum set and all of that sort of thing. Because, as you know, drum sets require screens, and eventually that's all you hear. But this, our sound designer, Mark Melherber, who's currently getting ready on the Buddy Holly story right here, really knows live musicians in a show.
But that was unbelievable. I never realized what it was that made the sound
that's
so
the difference.
Realistic and
that's
amazing. Yeah. It was wonderfully balanced.
Yes.
But I kept thinking, this is terrific, but it's the first time maybe I'm just unaware of
that's the
what's
secret.
Happening. Yep.
An electric drum kit. Everything across the board is purely digital, and the freedom that then allows you to really get a dynamic range of loud and soft and mezzo forte and all that sort of thing, gives you all sorts of colors, and the audience really appreciates things in the music that they never heard before.
Now, one of the songs that you sang, was that from the TV series, or which one were you?
Which one?
Oh, dear. I was with someone from England, and they were so touched by that particular song.
Would it be Love of My Life?
That's it.
Yes. That's my Freddie Mercury inclusion. What I've done is the arrangement that I do of Love of My Life. If you've seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, that movie features the creation of that song quite particularly. It was Freddie Mercury's love song to his wife, really. Mm-hmm. And I've interpolated the dum-bum-bum-bum-bum from Bohemian Rhapsody into it. So it's almost like a Freddie Mercury medley all in one song. But it's such a simple little song called Love of My Life. And there's a guitar moment in as well. I don't want to give too much away, but our guitarist basically turns into Brian May and does the most beautiful rendition. And it's this delicate little number that nobody sees coming. But I'm not kidding. Everybody that talks to me about the show brings that song up.
Well, it certainly was a fabulous, fabulous evening.
I'm so pleased.
And I must say, you did have the crowd standing and cheering. So I think if anybody does want to go, they'd better book soon.
Yes.
Because the show continues until when? Until the 8th of April. Okay.
Bookings are very straightforward. We're now exclusively through web tickets, not CompuTicket, yep. Web tickets.
Okay.
But if you'd like to phone the box office, you can do so on 021-438-3301.
I'm going to just repeat that in case someone didn't have the pen out.
Absolutely.
021-438-3301.
Yes.
That's the box office theatre on the Bay. But otherwise, go to webtickets.
.co.za.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Webtickets.co.za, which will give you all the times when you might be able to buy tickets, because I'm sure it's going to be a sellout
from
show.
Your lips.
Well,
from
I think lips. So. With No, it's from your lips, with your charisma and your talent. The man certainly deserved the many stand-up ovations that he did get.
Thank you.
FMR 101.3.